Well, hello, and a very warm welcome back to the Andrew Eborne Show and the greatest Ritz. My favourite part is a pair of briefs, and I'm joined yet again by Stephen Barrett, who's going to come up with a witty response as to how are you?
I'm better because Bella is asleep.
Yes, we had the joy of meeting Bella every now and again. That is Bella the Beagle. We love Bella. How wonderful stuff. It's always good, right, when these sort of things pop up and real life pops up. And I think that's the thing. What's happening is lots of people are sort of writing in to either or both of us and saying, look, can you unpack and explain this area of law? And that's what we try and do on a pair of briefs is demystify the law, because it's all supposed to be very logical. And once you get rid of the jargon and we can explain things in hopefully an easy to understand way, it will basically assist the whole process. Is that a fair summary, Stephen?
Yes, I think so. And law is the consistent application of rules. And therefore, it's not beyond the wit of anybody to learn it or to understand what's going on. You get in hot water, as the Prime Minister is currently in hot water, because he's inconsistent in his application of rules. He cannot simultaneously say that Boris Johnson was wrong to have cake in his office, and I was okay to meet my voice coach. You can't do both. Now I'm whiter than white on this, Andrew, because I've written because I talked about his beers and curry in Durham, and I said beers and curry in Durham was absolutely fine, and I believe it is as law, and I believe that Boris's cake was absolutely fine because I believe it is as law. Can you imagine which of those two ideas got me most told off? It wasn't suggesting Keir Starmer was okay. The problem I have is that Tier 4 restrictions are slightly different. So actually, I don't think that this voice coach was lawful, and I don't think it should have happened. But in any event, the Prime Minister's just, it's his inconsistent application of law that bites him on his bottom. That's where you get it.
Oh no, it's the hypocrisy. We always say hypocrisy stinks, and before you remove the speck of dust from the eye of your neighbour, get the plank out of your own, or words to that effect.
Yes, because we were always, what people don't understand is we were always an oppressed people. Okay, so the Normans were a tiny percentage of the population. They came in and they took all the land and all the wealth and they lived in castles. They didn't even speak our language and they had an ace time and access to military force and oubliettes. And over the years, we just forced them. We said, oh, fine, then you'll be in charge, but you've got to be consistent. We just demanded it all the time. I always say, because I think judges in the early days are a bit like mafia dons, going out for the big boss, collecting, probably being a bit, taking a bit on the side. Andrew, dear, when I say this, if I'm being rude about judges, I mean judges of the 11th century.
Yes,
So just to be
careful, the
very
defamation
clear.
actions flying all over the place. We spoke previously about impunity and immunity and so on and so forth. But if there's bribery involved, that's clearly criminal, and you get no immunity from that.
No, but I do think in the back in the days that's what it was. But that I always say that our judges were seduced by the rule of law. That the consistent, because I find it mentally calming. You and I have talked about Inside Out too. I think that law calms anxiety. I think it
Yes.
does. I think it just, and my best mate, if I'm getting very stressed, he'll ask me to interpret usually a bit of a contract and say, what do you think this contract is called? Because I find contract very, very calming. I was taught
Oh,
contract by
good.
somebody
Well, as
I
long as they're
actually
fair,
adored.
some contracts aren't fair.
Well, then you must smashy smashy. And that's where I praise Tom Bingham, because Tom Bingham really revised the principle of smashy smashy unfair contracty, and he was much more bold than the many many judges. It's Interphoto, in case you want the case reference. But I did, I you know, because I was not necessarily as polite as possible to Tom Bingham recently.
No, you weren't
So just
at all. The rule of
well
law,
the.
you say the nice bit. I don't think you said anything nice about him.
There we are. Anyway, but I do rate him as a contract lawyer, and he in Interphoto he is absolutely brilliant. And these are very important principles to listeners and viewers. This is the idea that if you're going to put a dodgy clause in a contract, like your second child will belong to me, then you have a legal obligation to what we call red hand it, to point
Yes.
to literally get big red hands and point to that clause and go, by the way, this clause is in the
And
contract.
it's so useful for people because it's the biggest lie that everybody watching and listening around the world always tells is, I have read these terms and conditions. They never have. I know you haven't. I don't take you far too long to read them. It's a lie.
It is a lion. I worry that this is where big sort of authoritarianism is coming back through technology. So I will always worry about the moral damage done by a lie. But we're all lying every day. Yes, I've read the. Have you read this? Yes. Have you read the? Yes.
Well,
And it's
it does, though, raise, especially when there's these very heavyweight clauses in there. When we talk about the red hand and you have to highlight it, if something's buried in there and you haven't really read it, and everybody knows, we all know nobody really reads it, how enforceable are those contracts?
well, they aren't, thank goodness. And that's partly due to the goodness of people like Tom Bingham.
Hurrah!
So
No,
just to
twice you've said something nice about him.
give him his credit where it is due. I've forgotten what we're talking about now.
Oh, no, we're talking about general stuff about fairness and
Okay.
principles and the reason why it's so important that we unpack these things because it's helpful. Now, one of the things hitting the headlines at the moment, we always try and look behind the headlines and see what the legal principles are involved. The Chagos Islands, hurrah, hurrah. Have you ever been?
I've never been lucky enough to go. I think if you're not in the military, I'm not entirely sure you
I think that's right. It's not a renowned holiday destination. It was once known as the British Indian Ocean Territory, the BIOT, and it's been
it
embroiled.
still is.
Yes, and still is embroiled in several contentious issues. Let's talk about, put it into context. Talk to me about sovereignty.
So it's ours, and what we did in particular that
Ours being the UK, because we have an audience around the world, and ours might be disputed as to who the ours is in this case.
Yes, but people, to go back to it, you need to understand imperial history and British imperial history. We didn't really conquer places, and we weren't like the Roman Empire. Like, we're next to France, and we didn't think, I mean, we had invaded France for hundreds of years, but we didn't sort of go, let's invade France again. That would be logical, and then we'll add it to our empire. And we weren't trying to add a contiguous, next door neighbor, you come. That wasn't what we would do, and we weren't an empire of conquest. We were fundamentally an empire of trade, and then accidents. Like the way that we ended up governing India is completely mad. I mean, it's just bonkers. Nobody should end up governing such a massive territory on that basis. But we basically were invited in. But I mean, it's just insane, and that happened quite a lot. But what we were effectively, our approach to empire was, our ships can go this far. Often before the sailors got scurvy or started dying or got mutinous. Therefore, I'm going to need a base here. And they're going to need a base here. And then they can go that far. And then I need a base here. And so, if you actually look, if you look at a map of the British Empire, it can be misleading because you tend to look to the big pink things. But the far more important things are the little pink things. And once the empire collapsed, I always think quite nobly, I'm quite glad that it collapsed the way it did, that people said, we want to be independent. And we went, okay, I mean, that just seems good. I have absolutely no problem. Don't get me wrong, partition of India and Pakistan is a nightmare, but it was always going to be a nightmare. But it's nonetheless the fundamental principle of I want to be independent, okay, is a pretty noble one. Could have been handled slightly better in Kenya, but there we are. What we kept was a lot of the islands, because a lot of the
Yes.
islands just went, we want to stay with you. And what I find very funny about UK national identity is that, so I'm just for full disclosure, there are islands in the Caribbean who wanted to stay with us, some of which are called the British Virgin Islands. I mentor their children and young people. They adore us. Absolutely adore it. And they're lovely, lovely people. Three rum punches and you'll be on the floor. If you eat the goat curry, you will be able to see through time. But they have the
Love a
best
good
fun.
goat curry. I've got to be good.
Yeah, and one of mine was the first BVI Native Islander admitted to the role of solicitors. So I'm very,
Yes.
very proud. And I think the world of him. A lot of my mentees end up as sort of surrogate children, and I think very, very highly of him. Another good sound piece of logic he has is that he wants to have lots of children himself. And I'm like, yes, you must. So there are these places, and they do actually like us.
Right.
And that's often quite hard. So Americans watching this will be like, what is that Britishman going on about? But we tend to assume everybody hates us. It's the default for the British history, just to assume that we're hated. And so it can be quite shocking to find places that even you quite like us. It's quite shocking. So the Chagos Islands are one of those, as in they're in the middle of the Indian Ocean. They're a great place to refuel ships that can't get very far, give the sailors a bit of a rest, stop them mutinying, and hopefully, get some fruit in their belly so their teeth don't fall out.
Yeah.
It wasn't terribly useful to us. It's not terribly profitable. It is impeccably beautiful. But then during the Cold War, the Americans asked us to give it, lend it, let them have a base there. And we did. And there's a very, very important military base there. We therefore took the Chagos Islanders off there. We said that they wanted to, if they wanted to, they could go live anywhere. If they wanted to live in Mauritius, Mauritius said that they could. The vast majority of them came directly here, so to the island of Great Britain, and they all live by Crawley down south, which is next to Gatwick Airport, and apparently
Yes,
lots of
indeed.
Chagos Islanders work in Gatwick Airport. That is morally questionable and morally doubtful. So just to put my cards on the table, I've always taken the view that once America no longer needs a military base on the Chagos Islands, we should give the islands back to the Chagos Islanders. And if they want to stay in the family, like BVI does, then they stay in the family. If they want to go independent, like Jamaica did, they go independent. You let them decide. And that is what I consider the position of international law. And I think it's perfectly lawful to hold that position, that what we've done is necessary for national security. So sometimes you have to do things which are not 100% nice, but they are necessary in
Yeah.
national
So to put it into the
security.
historical context, because it was some time ago, UK detached the Chagos Archipelago from Mauritius before its independence in 1968 to form Biot, primarily, as you say, to establish a military base on Diego Garcia. But the act was legally contested with the International Court of Justice, ruling in 2019 that the UK's administration of the islands was unlawful and they should be returned to Mauritius. However, the UK has maintained control over Diego Garcia for military purpose. What happened then for that particular case then? Why did the ICJ rule in 2019 that it was unlawful, and why were they wrong?
Well, I'll come back to that because this is a lot to unpack. So we administered the islands because they're tiny little atolls. We practically administered them. We gave the same civil servant the responsibility to administer them who administered Mauritius. That's a bureaucratic decision. So the Chagos Islanders do not see themselves as Mauritian. Mauritius and Chagos are 1,000 miles apart, and the Indians always get terribly upset because the Seychelles are closer. So they always say, well, if distance matters, and if distance mattered, we'd govern France and we'd lose the Falkland Islands. So distance is not a principle of governance. It simply isn't. But we did collectively administer them. But in 1968, nobody thought anything of that. We had administered Mauritius. Mauritius was one of those places that said, we'd like to go independent, please. And we said, okie dokie, off you go. We gave Mauritius compensation for having been administered by us. We gave them some money to start everything up and hope, wish them well, go and have free and fair elections, be a good state. But that principle I talked about, where we never tried to force people, we didn't try and force them to stay. Well, now let's just analyze that. We very clearly could have done. Militarily, there is no equivalence between us and Mauritius. Let's just get that through our heads. But that was 1968, and that's what we did. And I'm quite proud of everything we did in that. Then it became a cause célèbre of certain lawyers and certain people of a left-wing opinion that we had done something wrong in Chagos. And that's because we have evicted those Chagossians, the ones who live in Crawley, the nice ones who work at
Yes.
Gatwick. And that is a wrong. So they've got a germ of a truth. They've got that grain of sand, but they have built this massive pearl around it, that there is something deeply shameful for the United Kingdom involving the Chagos Islands, for which we must atone. That's the idea. There must be atonement. It's all very quasi-religious. They then took a case in the International Court of Justice, which is part of the UN. They had absolutely no lawful right to do so. So as law, we signed up to the International Court of Justice and we said, look, we'll sign up for you, but we're just going to have this qualification here. You're not going to decide on anything to do with our old imperial lands, ever. You're not allowed to. So the court had no. And if the court were properly run, staffed by competent lawyers, doing its job properly and not, I'm afraid I just described the UN now as dodgy, but not dodgy. Then the court would have ruled we have no power or jurisdiction to say anything about the Chagos Islands, so we best shut up. They, having no legal or lawful power to say anything about the Chagos Islands, did not shut them up, didn't stop them at all. So they decided to go wee and give a judgment on the Chagos Islands, which wasn't even that we had to give them back to Mauritius, or now it's not giving them back or give them to Mauritius. It was just basically it entered folk. It's a bit like the, I mean, the ICJ's done this before. It's like when people thought it had said that there was a genocide in Gaza, and then the head of the president of the court had to go on Newsnight to say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! I did not say there was a genocide in Gaza." And it's like, yeah, you people are really bad at communicating.
They were awful at community. I mean, just on that, all they did was say, here's the definition of it.
Yes, I mean that was the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in my world. So what they actually just if you get to the grain, what they actually decided it was that the rules against genocide can apply in in Palestinian territory. I mean,
It
I think
was
that's
such
the
an end.
bloody
You and I appear on all sorts of channels, more stations than Paddington, or more than Shinjuku. Apparently, Shinjuku has the most in the world, and I'm doing a lot in Japan. But exactly that, and you sort of say what they were doing was saying, here's the definition. And basically, if you break the law, you break the law.
Yes, and that would be awful. I was just so pathetic what they did with Israel. But again, they did this with Mauritius. It has therefore grown up. This is the distinction I've tried to get across. We might unpack it again another time between public international lawyers and private international lawyers. But it's the public international lawyers who've all gone a bit balmy. Because
Give us
this.
the headlines so people can back refer.
So a private international lawyer is somebody like me who engages in treaties around money and wealth and trade and international arbitration, which is a way of resolving international disputes over money and business and trade. And a public international lawyer is basically a human rights lawyer who does it internationally and tries to do good and worthy things. The difference between us is that one of us flies economy and one of us flies business class. And I've
That's
actually,
the best definition of all, I think.
well, it's the one that matters to me. But anyway, there we are on that. They've all gone a bit funny. And amongst their lot, they decided that there was this risk that not now, but at a future date,
Yes.
the ICJ could have a court case that said we had to give Mauritius the Chagos Islands. Right. When I talk about a healthy relationship with fear, this is a deeply unhealthy relationship with fear. Firstly, they have no legal power, so to do. So if they did, you just say you have no legal power what to do. Secondly, if we don't want to ignore them, we can. So we could just bloody well ignore them. You don't have to do what a bunch of international courts say. Just you can. Thirdly, we should protect our national security at all costs, regardless of what any judge anywhere thinks. Go boil your head. Being alive is more important than your delicate sensibilities, mate. So it was always complete nonsense. But unfortunately, we had a change of government in this country. So the civil service have believed this for a long time because they've gone a bit bonkers. And so they tried to talk to conservative governments. So they tried to get Boris's government to agree to give them back. And Boris just like, no, don't be silly. And then Boris fell and Liz came in, and let's be honest, there was a little bit of chaos. And the Liz government said, sounds a bit weird, but okay, let's look at this. It's probably a mistake. The Sunak government replaced the Liz government, as we all know. And David Cameron went, not on your Nelly, mate, because David Cameron's not a moron. So he just shut it down and he shut it all down. And then the Sunak government fell and in comes David Lammy. And David Lammy has gone, yes, this is a brilliant idea. It's just like, you loot. And the problem is that Keir Starmer and his Attorney General, Lord Hermer, both are of the tech. They would take, if you had them on your show, they would say there is a legal obligation to return the Chagos Islands to Mauritius. And the only
They would
important
probably say
question,
it with less charisma, though, Stephen.
the only important question you could ask as a lawyer is can you explain that obligation, please?
Yeah. So, what would they say? Like, what in a nutshell? What would they say?
They would say that there was a risk that a future ICJ hearing would order it, to
And
which
human
you
rights, is
refer.
that the issue?
No, because we're desperately breaching everybody's human rights. The utter tragedy of this, the utter sadness of this, is that the Chagos, small amount of Chagos Islands people who see themselves as absolutely culturally and ethnically distinct from Mauritians, went to Mauritius where they are quite badly treated. I mean, I'm happy to go on record saying I don't like Mauritius because I'm bisexual. Foreign Office guidance is that same-sex attracted couples should not hold hands in Mauritius, should not be obvious. And it's like, oh, right, it's back to that, is it? So I'm not terribly fond of them. There's a risk of violence against same-sex attracted couples, or if two men hold hands, there'll be a risk of violence. Just like, right, don't want to go to you. You sound awful. So I'm not terribly fond of them. They treat the Chagossians as second-class citizens, so they're also rude. So as well as being rude to me, they'd be rude to the Chagossians. And so the Chagos Islanders are like, well, we don't want to go to them. They're mean. And the most, if you, the oddest thing in the world is that Lord Herma believes or is asserting that international law must always be followed. If that were true, then the more important concept of international law is the right to self-determination. And so, if the Chagos Islanders don't want to go back, you have to listen to the Chagos Islanders.
Yes.
And what's really ridiculous is that David Lammy stood up in the House of Commons and said, we consulted the Chagos Islanders at all times. And there's a Twitter account called Chagossian Voices. And if you just Google, were the Chagos Islanders consulted? They've made it very clear they were never told about this. Not even told, not merely not asked. Not even told. So
Right.
he's just obviously saying something which is not true.
So you mentioned that when they come on the show, and they come on next week, I'm sure, and they turn around and they say there's a legal argument. What in a sentence, what is that legal argument?
There isn't one. There just
No,
isn't
but
one.
what would they say?
They would say that there was a risk that the ICJ in future would pass an order ordering us to do that, which the British government would find
On
very
what
embarrassing.
basis, if it's not human rights, on what basis?
Don't know. The argument is that because we administered the territories together, they are a contiguous territory, which is rubbish, and therefore they belong together on some obvious basis, which is a bit like saying Rome administered. I'm trying to think now. I know my Roman provinces quite well, but it's a bit like saying Provence, which is literally the first province, so it's named Provence. Provence was administered from central Italy, therefore France has to give Provence back because it belongs to Italy, not France.
Right.
It's completely nonsense. It's just tosh, absolute tosh. That's not how land moves around based upon where you administer it from. I'm pretty sure we administer our Antarctic base from Falkland because it's the nearest place. That doesn't mean that they belong to the Falkland Islands. This is just absolute tosh. I mean, you have to. These are just practical bureaucratic things. I mean, if we, I mean, I just it's just a joke. It's just not worth engaging with it on an intellectual level. But the argument the ICJ used was because back in 1968, and I think people just need to look at the dates, okay? 1968, we settle this. We all come to an agreement on this. Money changes hand, we give it to them. Land changes hand, we give them Mauritius. That's it. Even the family division, about whom I am more than happy to be rude, do not let you come back as a divorced couple. What is that? 1960, you can probably do maths. 1968 to 2019? What is
Yeah,
that? That's.
oh, it's a long period of time. You're right.
Yes, my lord, it is.
Yes.
32, 32 plus 9,
51.
51. 51 years. Even the family division will not allow you to come back 51 years after a divorce settlement and reopen it. They won't. No, even they won't allow it. And they are the worst people. So the idea that this could be or should be reopened in any way is just utter tosh. But
Well, let's
that's
have
what
a
they.
look as well, because Trump is now in power. I think we should do a special episode, maybe straight after this, about Trump and what's happening on the world stage with him. But obviously, Diego Garcia hosts a significant US military base. It seems strategically important for operations in the Indian Ocean and beyond. It's got a 99-year lease agreement, which they're saying even after sovereignty transfer to Mauritius raises questions about control and use of the territory, including environmental and security concerns. Tell me what America's position is in all of this.
Well, it seems to have changed. The Biden administration, for goodness knows what reason, seems to have okayed all this. But in has come Mr. Trump, who I just like to flag up again. They told me all he was homophobic and racist, and he danced on stage to YMCA with the village people.
Well,
Can
I
you
don't know if
just?
they were the village people.
They were.
It's a
They were the real ones, I
reincarnation.
think. Oh, so it was a reincarnation.
It
Anyway.
might be. I think the original village people would probably be quite old now.
Well, just
But maybe some of them. It's maybe one of these names. We can work out who was there, but they certainly looked a bit younger than when they first sort of came out the hit, I think. And
right.
interestingly, Trump, to his credit, YMCA was never a number one before Trump got involved.
Right. So just leave, just stop trying to tell me who President Trump is. Stop trying to control the
Well,
narrative. Stop trying to brainwash me. I will make my own decisions about President Trump. But it looks as though he has saved. I mean, actually, there's two things he's done in the United Kingdom interest. One is kibosh this deal, and the other is leave us immune from tariffs, which is terribly, I mean, terribly generous of him. Thank you, Mr. Thank you. It's like, again, if you judge people on by their actions rather than the sort of scurrilous rumors people spread around them, you actually end up much more fond of people and much more grounded in what we call reality.
Yes.
But so it looks as though the Trump administration is scotching this deal. It looks as though, and something that was explained to me is that if they manage to get it through, and the other thing is that we're going to pay them to take away our islands. I mean, if you in life possess so little common sense that you are paying people to take away valuable things from your house, then I don't know what's happened to you. You must be the victim of serious head trauma. But if our government pay them to take away our islands, the rumor is the Americans will just buy them for $5 off the Mauritians. The Mauritians will have had our money. They'll have temporarily had the islands, and the Americans will get them back. This is insane. I cannot think of there are no words to describe this policy that are in any way rational, and therefore it's one of the ones I like to flag because I just think we're entering late stage liberalism. I worry that we're entering what the Weimar Republic went through. And I want to flag that that means there are going to be more conspiracy theories. And
Yes.
the reason there are going to be more conspiracy theories isn't that people are morally wrong. So everybody's going to, the people who like to call people morally wrong are going to go, oh, you're a conspiracy theory. And it's like, just shh, 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 shh. There's always conspiracy theories amongst humankind. A society has a lot of conspiracy theories only because good people are trying to rationalize, trying to understand why their government is behaving in such an obviously bonkers way. And it is so obviously bonkers to give away Chagos and give away money that I think conspiracy theories are inevitably going to arise in those circumstances. How could they not? It doesn't make any sense on any level. And the more that this government, which because of its ideology, is going to do all sorts of things which make no sense, the more conspiracy theories you're going to see. I don't blame the conspiracy theories. They probably come from good people trying to
Oh no,
understand
I
madness.
always work on the basis you tend to downplay any argument by dismissing and saying it's a conspiracy theory, and it's always because there's a vacuum. It's always because things don't quite make sense, or we don't unpack it in the proper way, like, as we try to do here on A Pair of Briefs. And when people don't understand it, they say, "Ah, there's got to be a conspiracy theory there somewhere."
Yeah, it's a natural human reaction to try and understand what's going on. You can say, so there's a lovely ruin in South America where we can prove that they knocked down the city about three or four times before eventually abandoning it. And what we've worked out is that the volcano would have a semi-eruption or cause an earthquake. There's a range of mountains nearby, and one of them's active. And they try and rationalize that. They rationalize that along religious grounds, and they therefore knocked down and rebuilt the city in order to please the mountain. And then the mountain would have another volcanic event, and they knocked down and reorganized the
Yes.
city to please the mountain. And that's rational from our point of view. That's not irrational. That is,
Yes.
I get very angry at sort of people who assume what humans do is they try and work out the best rational course with limited evidence, and they have to because we had to survive. So it's perfectly rational that you think these things. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's just an attempt to make sense of the world. The world is a pretty challenging and confusing place. And just because I understand tectonic plates, by the way, not because of any work I ever did. I didn't spend years in the field working out tectonic plates. I just learned it in GCSE geography, like everybody else. So I'm not some genius who's cleverer than those people. I just got told it when they didn't get told it. So I don't mind conspiracy theorists, and I'm afraid the Chagos Islands is simply so mad that it will attract conspiracy theorists. I don't understand it on
Well,
any
no,
level.
but we're going to continue sort of shining a spotlight on it. And talking about shining a spotlight, let me just finally put in this thing about the village people. It is important. It's essential to put these in perspective. And so I'm reading here. The group was originally formed by French producers Jacques Morali and Henri Belello, and lead singer Victor Willis, following release of the debut album Village People, which targeted disco's large gay audience. Do you know where the group's name came from?
No.
It refers to Manhattan's Greenwich Village with its reputation as a gayborhood. A gayborhood. Have you heard such a concept? There you go,
I've
a
not.
gayborhood. I've never heard that word either. Have
I've
you?
not. No, but I'm familiar with Soho and Manchester's Canal
Oh,
Street,
of
so the
course, but a
concept.
gayborhood. Fantastic. I've heard of gay
Anyway.
dub. Anyway, the characters are a symbolic group of American masculinity and macho gay fantasy personas. As of January 2020, Willis is the only original member of the group. Sometimes they do bite a bit off and another bit comes in. So all glorious stuff on Trump on that sort of base. Finally, before we go then, Stephen, what's going to happen? What's the reality? In a nutshell, what's the legal issue and how's it going to be solved?
On the Chagos Islands, if I was the Americans, I'd let us be mad enough to give away money we don't have, to give away islands we don't have to give away, and then I'd take them. And I would simply conclude that my ally had lost its head and it wasn't safe to leave Diego Garcia in my ally's hands anymore. That, I think, is what I would do if I were if I were America. If I were our prime minister, I would shut this down now. Because it's completely stupid, obviously harmful. I mean, that's the other aspect, Andrew. We don't have the 9 billion that they want us to give them, as well as the islands. I mean,
And that's also for the people talk about the domain name, or we haven't mentioned that this time, but the .io.
yeah, it's just insane. The whole thing's just, we're giving away valuable assets on vibes now, and it's because these are very much the people of vibes, and people are going to have to look out. The next thing will be the Elgin Marbles. Okay, I want everybody to just know that now. We are being governed by an Islington dinner party, and at some point in an Islington dinner party, oh my God, how we've mistreated Diego Garcia. We must do something about that comes up. At some point in an Islington dinner party, the Elgin Marbles should never have been here comes up. These are just the constant idea, the same ideas that they've had their entire life. So Keir Starmer, what I find so boring about them, Andrew, is that they will have thought these things from like the age of 20. They're in their 60s now, and they've never had a contradictory thought. To say, what? Why? What did you? What were you? I mean, I think I'm wrong at least 100 times a day. I mean,
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what we should do. And we'll do this in the next episode. Why don't we unpack all the likely things that are going to happen, all the arguments? We'll do the Elgin Marbles as well, and have a look at that. And we'll make a few predictions as to what will happen, put it into legal perspective, and make some predictions as well. All of that coming up on a glorious new episode of A Pair of Briefs. Do join us, Stephen Barrett and Andrew Eborn. You can follow me at Andrew Eborn at Octopus TV. Do subscribe. Hit that subscribe button now. It's everybody's favorite four-letter word. It's free. Hurrah. But if you want to become a member, you want to buy us both a cup of coffee or something stronger, then do think about membership and the glorious benefit that's bringing. Stephen's Substack is gaining tremendous. How many people have you got now? Zillions.
No, not zillions, but it's doing all right. I think I'm nearly on 2,000, which for
Oh,
Substack isn't bad.
fantastic.
But it's nice. What's nice about my Substack is that they're real people who I'm talking to week in, week out, so I get to know them. So like Hillary and Denise, they're just adorable, and everybody's so nice on my Substack. It's that we call it the land of lovelies. That's
Oh,
what we're
wait,
doing here.
and I've got my YouTube on more platforms than Paddington, and I was suggesting, and only in the recent month, we've got sort of over 3,000, 4,000 people. But they're active, and that's what I love about it. It gives us a chance to get that feedback while you and I dance on more traditional platforms as well. As you always say, more platforms than Paddington. So do get in touch with us. Do subscribe. I say that bit is free. If you want to buy us both a cup of coffee, or we'll get together and have a pint somewhere, in your honour, do that. We'd very much appreciate that. But for now, Stephen, thank you for joining me.
Bye!